We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, folks. What's good? We're back. Ain't No Seats podcast. First ever live show here at the CBE. We've got Tyshawn, who literally just worked up a sweat playing a nine-year-old in basketball.
He's 14, bro.
14. Okay. Did you win? Did you win?
Come on, man.
Okay. That was disrespectful.
Don't act like you don't know who you're talking to.
Me and Tyshawn are off to a rough start. But
I'm on the seat for a reason, baby.
We're here at the Big 12 tournament. Great day. The Hawks just had what I would call extremely low stress, which is not normal for this team. We're always close. We kind of just took control of that West Virginia game early. It was over before we know it, and we got the added entertainment of Huggins getting ejected, 7 minutes into the game? Is that right?
It was so quick. Those are the fastest two technicals I've ever seen in my entire life.
Huggy's been chilling lately, too. That was surprising. That's like old school Huggy right there.
Dude, he seems to get fired up when the old Kansas Jayhawks play him. He's a believer that we get all the calls. So I don't think it would have mattered today. The Hawks win.
Him and a lot of people.
Though. Yeah, 87-63. We'll have to get Tyshawn's thoughts on that a little bit later. But I don't know, B-Turn, what'd you think of the showing from the Hawks? I feel like we got a lot of, you know, Oates kind of busted out of his slump a little bit. Yeah, how you feeling after that quarterfinal win over West Virginia?
I feel great because I thought they were super active defensively. First half, West Virginia only scored 19 points. They were 5 of 31 from the floor. Like at one point, they were 2 of 23 from the floor. Like, so they finished at like 5 of 31 from the floor first half, 16%. And they made it tough. Like we made it tough on them. It's not like they were missing wide open shots. DeJuan, super active always defensively. So, yeah, Oates was like 30% from the field the previous five games. So, yeah. It's great to see him get back on track. I mean, he's one of the best players in the country. So,
yeah, I think that was the big thing everyone was concerned about coming in. I don't think anyone really thought Oates was going to slump the rest of the year, but it was good to see him just kind of right where he left off, back to what he's been doing all year. All right, Tyshawn, you're here. We got to talk a little bit about, you know, you've actually played in these games. Yeah. You actually know what you're talking about a little bit. Big 12 tournament-wise, Bill Self said all week, he said things like, you know, there's not much we're playing for this week. We're playing for a one seed, but does it really matter that much? Is that how Bill is behind the scenes? I don't really buy that. I feel like Bill wants to win this tournament pretty bad.
Yeah, he's competitive just as much as anybody. But I just think it's more so to take the pressure off the guys. You know, we worked hard all season. We accomplished a really important goal by winning the Big 12 or tying for winning. So that's the pressure, right? And so now he's like, you guys can kind of relax a little bit. Yeah. You know, there's not much pressure. You're just playing to seed, not really to win anything. So just, you know, play hard, of course. Continue doing what we've practiced all year. But it's no pressure. Come out here, you play, you win these two or three games, you get seated where you want to be, and then you focus on to the next, you know, the next couple of games, which are really, really important.
Yep. So obviously it's a wild, I don't know. I guess you didn't tie ever for the conference title.
I think we did one time with K-State, maybe like 2011 or something like that.
They were really good in 2010, I remember.
Maybe 2020. Maybe
but you guys didn't lose many games that year, so yeah. It might have not been that year.
I guess what I was getting at is I don't know if you guys ever had a Big 12 championship game where it was like KU-Baylor, if we get that on Saturday, that's a big deal because it's going to settle who really was the best team. And I think that's got to give me – you said Bill's a competitive guy. Yeah. You know he's –
Yeah, especially playing on a neutral floor too, right? You play on a neutral floor. Now it's kind of like best team just wins, you know, so I like that.
All right, well – So, AB, at the beginning of that game, AB whispers to me, it's like, 9-2 Hawks. We come out cooking early.
Yeah.
I was getting people tweeting me like, you got to throw up the Bob Davis cooking tweet because the Hawks are cooking. It was 11-2, and AB turns to me and he goes, Hawks are going to win this game 72-4. They didn't score more than 4 points until what? Less than 10 minutes in the first half?
It took 10 minutes. I kept looking at you and I said, I know it's not going to happen. But until they get to six, I'm going to think it might actually happen.
Oh, AB.
They just kept missing bunnies and turning it over. Yeah. It was so funny to watch. But, yeah, that was not the best team I've ever seen.
Ty, did you get it? Because someone for West Virginia got a tech before Huggins, right?
Yeah,
there were three.
Was it three technical? Was it a player, too? Because it was a double technical.
Yeah,
because
Jalen shot six free throws after.
Yeah, then Huggy said something and said something else. I didn't see the player technical, though.
Yeah,
I kind of came downstairs on Huggy's kicked out.
I guess like a bunch of KU fans on Twitter kind of said that the first tech on Huggins was soft, but I just had a better view. I just didn't know if you saw.
No. I actually was coming down from getting some popcorn. Sorry, I missed that part.
Wow, we need you for that. But no, it was. I mean, hilarious. It feels like Huggins is always flirting with technicals, but to see Jalen get six free throws was laugh out loud funny. I don't remember in my time being a KU fan. I can't really remember
how
that
many did
ever
he make.
He went five of six.
Yeah. Oh, pretty good.
Came in, I think, a 61% free throw shooter. That. Going up,
yeah, skyrocketing.
Five out of six stats, will get baby. You going.
How much would like Bill just stress like clicking at this time of the year, like going to the Big 12 tournament?
No, it's important. I think even before the tournament, maybe those last five or six games in the conference were big. We were playing for something, so he's already locking in. Like, guys, you got to focus up. It's March, you know. We're playing for something now, whether it be the conference or seeding or obviously coming forward. You're going to every game counts. So, I think he's putting that in. End of February, beginning of February, he's already like training them to every game counts at this point, you know. So they've been locked in. I'm pretty sure mentally, putting it together physically sometimes is hard. You know, you've been playing a lot of games. You are happy because you won the Big 12, and sometimes it's easy to kind of settle a little bit. And that's what Coach Self, I think, is the best at, not letting guys get comfortable, sticking to the program and pushing through these last couple of months.
Yeah. So do you, like, I'm trying to think of some classic Big 12 games you played in. I think B-Turn mentioned.
2010, they played that K-State team that had Clemente, Poland.
But yeah, like, we lost that K-State.
Curtis Kelly, I think.
Yeah, we lost that K-State that year.
You played them in KC in the Big 12 championship, so that was a big one.
Yeah, we won. I'm pretty sure, was that the game Marcus played really? It's one of the twins played pretty good, or Cole maybe?
The game I always think about, oh, what are we doing? We got
this the guy that I, this the kid that I just beat.
Yeah, I mean,
this is the kid that I just he's mad.
He's getting revenge on us. Tyshawn beats him. Now he's trying to ruin our live show. But no, like I always think back to that game with Texas. I think it was senior year. That team that was just stacked.
Your junior year.
Morris twins, yeah, T Rob. That Texas game. I think you guys absolutely smoked them.
Yeah, I had like 22 that game. I played good.
Yeah,
because the twins were cooking in that tournament.
Yeah,
that's when
they were throwing lob like no look lobs to each other. And
yeah,
shit. It was crazy.
The chemistry.
Yeah.
Well, when B Turn brought up like clicking in March.
Yeah.
That's kind of a game you look back at, and I just remember watching that game. Like, I'm 100% certain this team's going to do something.
No, that year you're talking about my junior year and kinda. My senior year, kind of, we clicked a little bit. I feel like we had not as good a team, but my junior year, the team was so good that we got through a lot of games kind of easy. And so those later games, we started to really turn it on, and it became like you said, we just started to click, and it became fun. Marcus and Keith throwing no-look passes to each other. I'm making threes. You know, we got Tyrell and Connor shooting the ball really well. So clicking is important, especially later in the season, man.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing, too, is, like, you want to be hot going into March, but then, like, senior year, kind of felt like you guys needed rest there, too. Like, you guys played Baylor here.
Yeah.
At KC, in KC, they were stacked.
Yeah.
Two great games in the regular season, but it's like.
Yeah, we beat them both times, so we didn't even really care about that. Like, we didn't care that they won the tournament. We beat them twice. They came in the field house undefeated, I'm pretty sure, like 20-0 or something. We beat them that time. We went to Waco and beat them again, and then we came here and. It's hard to beat anybody three times in one season, you know? So I'm sure they came fired up, and we kind of were like, we won the conference already. This shit doesn't matter. So they're playing like a championship game, and we playing to get to the tournament, the real tournament. So it happens like that sometimes. But I had some good conference tournament game, that Texas game you're talking about, that Baylor game you're talking about. I remember my freshman year, we played Baylor in like OKC or something like that. They had the tournament.
Oh.
And they were really good, too, and we lost that one, too. So
yeah.
I've had some good tournament games that I remember – really well.
Yeah. So I feel like KU fans go back and forth on this. Sometimes it's like, we don't play very well in Sprint Center, but really we do. We win a lot in the Sprint Center.
Yeah.
Do you feel like in the Big 12 tournament, like does having the little bit of a home court advantage help you guys a lot? Or how much different does it feel than Allen Field?
Yeah, it feel like it doesn't feel like home court to us. We feel just as much on the road as anyone else, to be completely honest, because the field house is so special. To say that something else feels like that is weird, right? Like, nothing feels like that. So even when we come here, we got a lot of Kansas fans, it never feels like a home game, you know? Like, you never get that feeling. But it's always cool to go on the road and have fans and stuff, right? So for the most part, as Kansas, we usually go on the road and have a good core of people following us wherever we go. And I think that's huge. But, yeah, it's hard to play here. It's hard. You want to play good. You know, you like – it's a different arena, but you also feel like you're a little bit home, so you want to play good. Put a little bit of added pressure on yourself, so it's tough play here.
It's crazy, though, too, because, like, me and him talk all the time, like, those tournament games, like, NCAA tournament games, like, it's a bunch of teams in one spot. Like, when KU starts getting tight, like, the game's close, it's like, it feels like the whole crowd is against KU.
Oh, yeah.
Which is crazy. Like,
especially in a tournament.
You guys felt that with Texas today, too. Like not even hated Texas.
Not trying to bring up bad memories, but it's like, when you and I stays in the game late, it's like it feels like the whole crowd. Like, I think K-State fans were there, I think, for that game.
They played after us.
Yeah.
So they played like either right before us or right after us. But you know how that goes in the tournament. Everybody roots for the underdog in March, right? So if you Kansas, Duke, Kentucky, Carolina, something like that, and you playing against a Cinderella, you got to come out and kick their butt, bro. You can't come out and
let them hang around.
You can't. You can't because the basket starts to get bigger for them and get smaller for you because you're pressing. We have to win. We have to make this shot. I got to make this play. And they're just playing.
Yeah.
They're just throwing it up. It goes in, it goes in. If it doesn't, if we lose, you know, like it is what it is. But for us, it feels a little bit tighter, you know. So those 13-2 games or 16-1, whatever they are, they're tough. They're tough, bro. You got to get through that first week. You get through that first weekend, you start to play against teams, the 8-seed, 7-seed. You start to play against teams that you watch on TV, you've seen before, you know a little bit. So it gets a little bit easier, even though you're moving forward. The pressure comes off a little bit because you know how the refs are going to call it. You played in the arena. You're playing against teams that you've seen before. So it starts to get a little bit easier. But those first two are tough, man, especially when you got a high seed.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little Big 12 tournament moving forward. We saw that first game, Texas TCU. Horns down. Texas gets up to an 18-point lead at half, I think.
40 to 22.
And just kind of what we were just talking with Tyshawn, the building turned on them. TCU made a little run. They just cut into it, and end up winning late. Now, we talked on our last episode, we were deciding who do we want to play, TCU or Texas. AB, you have a theory. How you feeling? Reshare to everyone what your theory is and then tell me how you're feeling about
it. It's like it's just so simple to me. Like Jamie Dixon and TCU are not playing for a Big 12 championship on Saturday. Like they're just not. Like I would have been a little nervous against Texas, but I just don't see it. Now, I know we're probably going to get to Dave. Who knows how much he plays with his foot. Maybe they just rebound like even crazier than they did the last two games against us, but I don't know. Yeah. Just the thought, the picture it thing, like you always talk about.
Yeah.
That's the only way I'm looking
can
at this.
Can you picture Jamie Dixon?
I'm not a huge Jamie Dixon fan.
Why?
To be completely honest.
You got to go into the story.
I got a personal experience with the guy that I'm just not a fan of his.
Oh.
But, yeah, I'm with you on that. I called Texas for this game earlier, and as I started to watch the game, I was just like, there's no way they're going to win, even when they were up big, because I know how hard TCU played against us and what – even if they're not playing on Saturday, they're going to try to prove something. Jamie's going to push his team. They already play hard because they're not that talented. So, again, that's just one of those teams. If you let hang around at all, they can stick with anybody.
Yeah.
Now, Jamie Dixon.
I mean, are you going to go into detail?
It's like a recruiting thing or something?
No, so he was my coach. I went to this USA thing after my freshman year. I played in the USA under 19. He was my coach. And he just was not that fun to be around, bro. He just
– I mean, he doesn't seem like the most fun guy at the
Like, the way he coaches, he kind of cries and whines at his players. And, like, it was like
– so you'd much rather prefer Bill just tell you
I'd rather you just scream at me, call me every word
Look
in the book. I'd rather
guy.
That than you just be like, oh, Tyshawn, what was that? Oh, my God. Did anybody see this guy? I'm like, bro, just tell me I suck. Or just, you know, just kick me out of practice or make me run. But – anyway, it's just personal preference.
Yeah.
I'm not a big
some of
fan
your boys
of
played for him at Pitt, right?
Yeah, a couple of my guys played for him at Pitt who are not big fans of him either, and they played for him. So,
I mean, He was good at Pitt. He's just so average to me. He's just like, I don't know. You can't. Jamie Dixon's never scaring me. I've never seen TCU on the schedule and been like, that's a tough one. Now we just lost. Now, how hard is that? Like, I don't know. Do you guys think there's something to beating a Bill Self team twice in a span of, 10 days, which is what TCU would have to do? I don't know. Are we feeling good about that? Like, mind,
they almost did it, though.
I know. So,
back-to-back, like a couple days.
Even better, though, is TCU, could they potentially be in the final 5 minutes of a game to beat Kansas 3 games in a row? I would like to think this Kansas team's good enough for that not to be a thing, but
especially with like Bill just seeing them twice in a week, I feel like he's pretty good at making adjustments.
Yeah, but
and
I don't
game
know if it's, I don't know
like
if it's coaches adjustments that needs to be made. A lot of that's just hustle play and guys.
That's what
being,
TCU does.
Yeah, it's just being outplayed. You can sit there and scheme and plan and plot, scout and report down to a T. Knowing when guys are going certain ways when they dribble, or knowing when guys are going to pull up or attack all the way. But if they're just getting 50-50 balls, or if they're just getting offensive rebounds, or if they're just keeping us off the glass or making us turn it over, you can't plan for that. Or you can't really, like, coach that, right? Like, you can't change those. The players got to execute. The players got to come out and want to play harder. They got to be competitive. I'm not saying that they weren't those other 2 games, but I think TCU kind of played a little bit harder, played with a chip. You know, they played
at
like
TCU,
an underdog team.
At TCU, it wasn't even close.
Beat
like
down.
None of our guys really played hard.
Beat down.
They killed us on the offensive glass. So it's like we talked about who we'd rather play. Like when the bracket came out, TCU or Texas. And personally, I felt like I'd rather play Texas. I feel like they're kind of shorthanded, and TCU super long, really good on the glass, and like you said, they play super hard. So
yeah,
it should be a battle. And I don't know. Like AB said, I really don't picture them playing in that game or beating us, but I still feel like I don't see us blowing
them. Just
because
you don't like the color of the jerseys, man.
Yeah, this is the type of analysis you get from this podcast. Tyshawn's talking X and O's, and we're like, but my brain can't picture
it. I just
can't
see it.
It can't happen. But no, I mean, that's what we do.
And
best.
Also,
fire takes.
We got to talk about Mike Miles. He busted his ankle late.
That's
one of the
true.
Best players in the conference. Mm-hmm. I think he was, second team all league?
I think Miles was second team all league,
but he came back and played, which most guards are going to come back and
he
play.
He pulled the Paul Pierce, got in the wheelchair, and then stood right back up.
Came running out the locker room.
I told AB, I was like, he's in a wheelchair. He's not playing tomorrow. Then here he comes.
But,
3 minutes later.
But what did Paul Pierce actually do to go in the wheelchair?
That's you know.
Didn't he tell a story? Then he had to take a crap.
Yeah,
it was like a crap. Like that came out like just recently. You said that, right? I think he's lying. I know Paul. He exaggerates, bro. There's no way.
All right, so let's talk a little more about today's game, because when I think about the concerns we have, obviously we've said it all year, like how good are we at the 5 position? How good are we at the point guard position? And I don't know, I'm glad you're here, Tyshawn. Let's start with DeJuan.
I like him.
Go right with it.
I like
so
it.
You think, can you can DeJuan get this team to a
my
final
point
four?
I'm team DeJuan for sure. I think he has all the abilities, bro. I think he has the ability to lead the team. I think his assisted turnover ratio is exactly what you want for a point guard. Obviously, his defensive ability is what you want from a point guard. My whole thing is having another guard like him, right? So now you think about Coach Self's best teams, his Final Four teams, or a team that won a national championship. You got a Mario Chalmers, a Sharon Collins, and a Russell Robinson. You got guards. You got Tyshawn, Elijah, and then maybe you throw in a little bit of Nadir there. Or you got Frank Devontae, and then you throw a little bit of whoever else is there. But you need those two guards. And right now, Remy is kind of, you know, up and down. Joe is kind of up and down. Obviously, we love Ochai. We love Christian. But they're just not playmakers. They're not, you know, defensive specialists. But I am a huge DeJuan fan. I've actually been in his DMs a couple of times just giving him some motivation, telling him to continue to lead the guys. And because I don't think he needs to score the ball that much. I don't think he needs to shoot it that well. For him to be effective.
So explain that for the fans.
My language.
Fans that are like, I mean, it's hard because we've had guys like you.
Yeah.
We've had Devontae. We've had Sharon. We've had Frank. The guys that go get a bucket. Like, explain why.
He's just not that player, bro.
He's just doing the other things good enough.
Yeah, he's just not that player, bro. If your point guard gets you 4 or 5 assists a game, 3 or 4 steals a game, and he's attacking the rim, getting guys involved, what more do you want from him? And he's not a liability on defense.
Lockdown.
You understand what I'm saying? He gave you 3 or 4 steals a game on top of locking down. So now it's like a lot of defensive possessions don't get put on the stat sheet. He's making extra plays. He's making the hockey assist to get another guy to pass. He's making all the right plays for the most part. And it's hard to not like him, right? You may want more from him, But it's hard to not be like, this guy's good. He's great at what he does. He is at his position, and for what he does, he's good. He's great at it. Yep. I love him.
Just feels like our fans are super spoiled and used to like scoring man. Point guards. Come on, like he just listed
you
them
got
all.
Saron, you got Devontae, Sean,
you got Devontae, you got Frank.
Those are three All Americans, first team. Yeah.
And then the last 2 years, you got Marcus and DeJuan, who were elite defensively.
Yeah.
And people, like, I wouldn't say hate, but people really weren't huge fans of Marcus early.
It's tough.
They
man.
Thought we were playing 4-on-5
it's
on
tough
offense.
When you get used to something. It's
sagging
just like,
off him.
It's like me watching Coach Self play a two big offense and now just having Jay or David. McCormick, yeah, David be the big with Jalen or Ochai playing a four sometime, right? Like, I know David's probably a little bit uncomfortable because he's used to seeing a dope down there or another guy who can throw the ball and they can play off each other. Now it's Jalen. It's a guard who maybe it could be in his benefit for the spacing purposes, but when you're used to something, you're used to something. And I know it's frustrating for Coach Self as well because he's used to coaching with two bigs and three guards.
Yeah.
And now he has to make a guard play the big, you know, but to go back to DeJuan, I think for his position and what he does, I love it. I love what he does. I think he does have the potential to lead us. But I think other guys have to play great too, right?
Yeah.
Ochai has to be Ochai. Yeah. Christian has to be a beast. And Jalen really has to do a little bit of everything.
I think Jalen
has to rebound,
like,
he has to make plays and score.
Yeah. But like you said about CB and Ochai, it's like they're not really – we love them. They're awesome and they're going to be pros, but it's like they're not really playmakers. And we don't have too many guys that create shots and like – You know how
Jalen could be that other guy, honestly. Jalen could, but
like, you know how much March is about guard play. So it's like, do you, as much as we love DeJuan, you love DeJuan, it's like, do you worry about this team's guard play going into March?
Yeah, I do. Not because of DeJuan, though, because of the lack of, not because of DeJuan. I even like Joe. I think Joe gonna give you good minutes at some games just because he put so much pressure on the ball. But just offensively and having the confidence to do it this late in the season, it's hard to just be like, I haven't played that much all year, but I'm going to come in March and be what you want me to be.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about Remy. So, like, Remy obviously started the year. Things were going – I mean, he wasn't what we expected from the jump, and then obviously dealt with the knee issues. But now it's like people still kind of – we have that hope in the back of our mind. We're going to see – how hard is it to play for Bill Self, sit out for 6, 7, 8 games, weeks without practicing, to just get thrown in and try and be a factor?
I've never personally had to deal with that specifically. Like,
what about you got suspended a few times?
Yeah, a couple of games. And I think so. Getting suspended is a little bit different because when you coming back, he's a little mad at you, so he's hard on you. But if you're injured and you just have to sit out to recover, you come back, he's more supportive and trying to get you to keep your confidence and stuff like that. But for Remy, I think Remy's a special what you call that? Like he kind of special in the position that he's in because he's been there before, right? So you can almost depend on Remy to come in and give you really good minutes and be solid at that position because he's been there before. It's not like he's a freshman who has to sit for 6 or 7 games or is getting yelled at and getting down on himself. Remy don't give a – he cool. You know, like he's a pretty laid-back person naturally. So when Coach Self is getting on to him, I wouldn't be surprised if he's kind of like –
He gave him the wave like three times a day. He loves that with his point guards.
I can see that, though. Coach, I got it. You don't have to tell me over and over, you know? So I can see Remy coming in, giving good minutes, even late in games or, you know, even after not playing a couple of games. I can see him just being a solid player.
Yeah,
that's a super electric dude to have come off the bench, too. It's like former 20 points. 20 points
guy?
A night. Yeah. 20 points a night at Arizona State. It's like, I mean, he's obviously – ton of energy when he's playing well. Like, he's so much fun to watch. But
he reminds me of me, bro. He just makes some plays that makes you want to slap your head, and then he makes some plays that makes you want to jump out of your seat, bro. It's like, oh shit, he just made that, or he's seen that, or like, so yeah.
I thought he was better today too.
Like, he makes a big play or like a flashy play, and all of a sudden
it's exciting.
And the team's
it's exciting
like
for sure.
Back in it, so it's we haven't really seen it, but we're still dying to see it. So I don't know.
What did you guys think about Remy today? I thought he was obviously better at getting to the rim. He got Mitch an open like 15-footer. I thought he looked a little more healthy.
Coach got pissed at him one time.
I was trying to say. He goes,
yeah, he got pissed at him one play and he took him out. But it was like it was a couple possessions in a row where it was like a defensive slip up. Then he turned it over, and then like another maybe turnover or a bad shot or something. So, I mean, obviously, if you're making possession after possession after possession, coach is going to be able to notice that. But here and there, to make a mistake, bro, it's basketball. It's just going to happen, bro, especially when you're a point guard, bro. You're managing the time. You're managing four other players on top of being pressured all the way up the court. It's not easy. Then you got a coach who demands a lot out of you, so you want to do all of the right things. It's not easy being a point guard under him. So you got to have tough skin, and you got to be able to, like, understand that next play, basically, next play mentality, because some shit's going to happen.
I mean, I die every time I watch Self on the sidelines. You see a guy make a mistake, and you just turn to Self immediately because you know he's looking to the sidelines.
Go get him.
Like, it's
go get Dave.
The quickest hook.
He always looks to Coach T. Did you see that? How did he make that play?
What was he saying when you guys were sitting behind the bench last game about Oates? He was like, he's unplayable.
That's what he looked at Coach T and said, he's unplayable.
Can't play him.
He's awful. I mean, he can't guard.
He haven't guarded anybody all fucking game.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Dude, I'm the Big 12 Player of the Year. Can you just let me have one off game?
Ty, do you worry about Oach, like, what am I even trying to say? He looks pretty tired.
He can go away,
and he's played the most minutes,
man,
in the Big 12.
It's always been that way, bro. I know he's carrying a lot. He's carrying a big load. He for sure is. The team is going to go as far as he takes them, so it's a huge load. And I kind of been there. Obviously not to caliber of him, because I had a good team, but I worry only because he has these spins where he's not involved at all.
It's crazy.
Right? Taking a bad shot here and there from the best player is like, cool, bro. We know you're here still.
Yeah.
You go three or four minutes without touching the ball or being aggressive or trying to take a shot or trying to make a play for somebody else. That's when I get scared, bro, because it's like after a minute and a half, after 2 minutes, now it's 5 minutes and you haven't taken a shot, or you're taking one shot in that spin and everybody's playing around you, or you're just non-existent. And naturally, he's a laid-back, quiet, you know, straight-faced, poker-faced kind of guy. I mean, that's good when you're playing good, right? But if I'm your teammate and you're playing like shit and we're playing like shit and you don't get motivated or get us fired up, I would be upset at that. Now, I'm not saying that's not what he does. I don't know how he acts in the locker room or how he gets he rallies his troops. But from the outside looking in, it seems like he has games where he can disappear for a stretch that we can't afford that, because you are carrying that much of a load. If you disappear for 5 or 6 minutes, now you put all the pressure on DeJuan, or you making CB make the plays, or Jalen, who I think is capable. But we need him to be that guy. We need you to be involved. You don't go 2 or 3 possessions without touching the ball. You got to be coming to somebody and be like, bro, watch this back door or look for me.
Yeah.
Like, if I went 3 or 4 possessions and didn't pass T-Rob the ball, he would post up in the same spot the whole possession. He wouldn't move. And I'd be like, oh, clear out, go set the screen. He's like, no.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going anywhere. Throw it in. What are you talking about? You know, so it's like you got to kind of have that kind of attitude when you're the guy, bro. You have to.
Yeah.
You have to. You can't just go away for 5 minutes in the game.
Because, like, but I didn't even realize this, but before the game, they said he's played the most minutes in the entire Big 12 this year.
That's
like your senior year, you guys had no bench, no disrespect to those dudes,
but played
a ton. Like, you were one of the best players in the conference. So it's like, were you feeling it in March? Like,
not to bring up, like, you obviously killed it in March, but didn't you have a really bad shooting month in March?
Yeah.
Like,
let's hear the numbers.
In a tournament.
I don't know. Do you know?
Well,
he knows.
Yeah, I do. Absolutely know. I've heard this. So, in conference, I shot it really well. I shot 42% from the three-point line in conference, shooting about 3 or 4 games. And for me, that was, like, great, because I'm coming in as a non-shooter, a non-threat from the three-point line. So increase my percentage every year like that, it was great. And then after the tournament, I don't know, man. I mean, after the conference tournament, we went to the NCAA and we started playing in these football arenas, and the lighting and backdrop was a little different. I couldn't buy one, bro. I went 1-for-21 in 7 games.
1-for-21, 7 games. Do you think that was, I mean, you think that's kind of like the backdrop and the place you're playing rather than your legs being tired or anything?
I think it's a little bit of both. I would want to say it had nothing to do with me being tired, but I also cramped up the first game of the tournament against Detroit. Yeah. I couldn't even finish that game because I was exhausted. I was tired. Yeah. We didn't play that hard. We played against a bad team, but for some reason I wasn't in the best shape, I guess, or just dehydrated or whatever the hell causes you to cramp, but I couldn't finish that. Barely finished the Purdue game because I started to cramp up late in that game too, but they start pumping me with electrolytes and stuff because I had to, or we would have lost.
How'd you guys win that game?
Elijah
you
Johnson.
You and Lodge, yeah.
Elijah Johnson, bro. He's the best player in the tournament. I say this to
Why
everybody.
Why did he throw that lob to you? That's the ballsiest
my
lob
man, because he's my man. He trusts me, and
also,
I trust him.
Bro, the best Bill Self moment was when Ty threw that bounce pass against Ohio State, and it goes out of bounds, and Bill's like, all right.
He comes to me. He goes, what were you seeing? I was like, I thought Elijah was going to keep running. I was just trying to get the ball out of my hand.
I love the Purdue game because this was like, you in a nutshell, like when you had a chance to dribble the game out, we thought we were gonna win.
I still think I did the right thing, by the way.
And everyone's like, yes, Tyshaw.
No,
Tyshaw, what are you doing?
Somebody just tweeted that to me like recently, maybe a few months ago.
All right, we got questions coming in from the live show. All right, do you have any predictions for what teams get drawn into KU's bracket on Selection Sunday? AB,
that's my specialty.
This
huh?
is AB's bread and butter, he loves bracketology more than anyone. You know the selection committee. They like to put teams together.
I've got an awful feeling Kentucky's going to be
absolutely. I was going to say that.
Every time I see it, I feel like we're there two or there are one.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's really my only prediction, I guess. There's still a lot to happen. A lot depends on the tournaments and who wins. And
it sure
who
feels
gets
like
beat
if
early.
We get East, Villanova's getting East.
If we don't win this, will we get a 2 seed?
I think
probably.
It might depend on Baylor, though. Like, what if Baylor lost before the finals? Like, what if we make the finals and they don't, but and we lose in the finals?
I think they're. I don't know.
Baylor giving us something to think about.
Yeah,
I would almost think it's better chance if like Tennessee won SEC or something. So like Kentucky or Auburn didn't win it.
No,
but I'm with Rye. Like, if we're the 2 seed in the East, I feel like Nova's gonna be our 3. And you heard about that? The East region is in Philly. So we would play Nova again in Philly. So that'd be
tough. It worked out
for
us well in KC a few years ago. So.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wow.
They're all right, man. We could beat Nova.
Nova. It's just annoying. You get a 2 seed and you're playing a 3 seed on the road in the Sweet 16.
At their crib, too.
Yeah. I don't know. Those are the I'm with AB. Kentucky, for some reason, feel like they want, like a few years ago when we got AU Duke Elite 8, they want that. They want Kentucky. Kansas Elite Eight game. So.
But like we always say, like what are the odds those two teams actually meet in the Elite Eight? So it's like
takes a lot. I mean, how much did you guys like, you know how we fans, we're obsessed with seeding, where we're going, things like that. Are you tracking that as a player?
The coaches are for sure.
Yeah.
Like if it was a position right now for them to win, if they get a better seed and it plays out, they'll get a better bracket, he's gonna push for it. Right, like if there was a way for him to have an advantage at all, he knows, right? So he's like, bro, we got to win this. We have to win this tournament in order to get a number one seed, in order to play this team first and this team, and end up playing this team. Like he definitely knows that stuff. For us, you just got to play, bro. It don't matter. At the end of the day, it's one game, so you got to be your best, bro. And that's kind of where we lock in at. And the one time that we didn't was Northern Iowa, bro. I remember watching that scout and being scared as fuck because I was watching how they played and just knew we didn't match up good with it. And I was just like,
they were very good defensively, right?
They spaced the floor out, bro. They played defense and they played this like zone.
Yeah.
It was this, like this.
They had 4 losses on the year.
Yeah, they were a good team. Yeah. They could have beat anybody.
They're a top 25 team that you're seeing.
They were a good
round.
Team. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough like that, man. But sometimes it works out because then if you think about that, if we beat Northern Iowa, the bracket plays out exactly how we want it and it works. So it was like, all you got to do is just win this game. And.
Yep.
I think we got another question.
We got a question.
I think we covered this, but I thought he looked a little more explosive. I thought he looked a little more healthy.
He's still going to be more aggressive, though. I feel like he didn't even look at the rim a lot. He's trying to distribute almost too much, which is fine as a point guard. But
Ty, do you think that has to do with Bill, like kind of not letting people play through mistakes sometimes?
It might be because Remy, I feel like Remy's on his leash right now, kind of where if he makes a few mistakes, he'll come out and And I just come out to go back in. He's coming out and sitting for a while. So, yeah, it could be in the back of his mind. Like, I just want to make every right play. I don't want to force anything. But, again, I know as a player that sometimes gets you in more trouble. To go out there playing loose, playing free, I played my best games like that when I wasn't thinking about Coach Self. I wasn't thinking about no girls. I wasn't thinking about family. I was just locked in. Those are the games that I played the best. But, you know, when your wheels start to turn, sometimes you get caught, thinking too much. And that's not good.
Did you guys pay attention to him much defensively? I didn't really, because as much as we love Remy, he's been a liability defensively this year. But I didn't really. Was he better defensively or?
I didn't pay too much attention to that. Small guard, man. He's a small guard. Yeah. Unless you got quick hands or just a dog, complete dog. I mean, it's gonna be tough.
He played most of his minutes in the first half. They went 5 of 31 from the floor. Yeah. So it's like
he played good defense.
He really poked too many holes in it. Yeah.
I'm not gonna nitpick.
But like, here's my thing with Remy is like Ty just talked about Oach and CB not really being playmakers. I think if Remy's cooking and Remy's 100%, I think he can make it so much easier on those dudes.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
you have to worry about him. He can beat dudes off the dribble and get them open looks. Like, we've seen Oach from three this year. I mean, when he's wide open three, it's almost a layup. It's like he's close to 50% from three on the year. So it's like Remy's clicking in March.
But here's where I get worried. He's
surrounded with shooters.
So Tyshawn just said, like, you need two good guards. He loves having 2 point guards. So you play DeJuan and you play Remy. And say Remy starts to play well. My thing is, who's coming off the floor? You're not pulling Ochai off the floor. You're not pulling CB. And what's so challenging for me with this team is, like, yeah, if Remy has a good March, who's losing their minutes? Like, the fan base wants
it to be DeJuan. It's enough for both of them. It's enough for both of them, I think, because you think about this. You think about one foul trouble. Somebody's going to get in foul trouble. And if not, they just share minutes. DeJuan can't play 40 minutes. So neither can Remy. So maybe 28 and 22 or, like, you know, like, and then you just go based off games, based off matchups, based off who you play. Like, if Remy's playing good and DeJuan's playing good, Remy may be a better player because offensively, right?
Yeah.
And he's a little bit older, a little bit more mature. But DeJuan gives you shit that you love. So you're not going to not play him. He's not going to sit on the bench. He's going to play, and he doesn't make mistakes. So he doesn't even give you a reason to want to pull him.
Yeah.
You understand? So it's hard to not play DeJuan. Remy gives you some plays where you're just like, bro, come sit down, you know? But if he's clicking, he's good. We know that. You said that. 20 points at a high level, that's not easy to do. So I'm rooting for both of those guys, and I think there's room for both of them to play really well late, and I think we'll need both of them to play well if you want to go as far as I think we can go.
All right, so speaking of health, speaking of other guys, we talked a lot about point guard, but Dave, Bill came into this tournament saying, like, it's hard to think about playing Dave back-to-back days. His foot's been giving him issues. He basically said before the tournament, it sounded like if we win today, they might sit Dave.
Oh, shit.
I think the thing we got today was nice.
Bill's that so
Dave
full
played.
Of shit.
I think Dave played less than 10 minutes. We got really good minutes from Mitch. I was going to ask, but Tyshawn, you're already giving me the answer.
I don't know how serious the injury is, but if he Coach Self been saying he had a hurt foot all year. I know for a fact that if they had a game, he didn't give him practice off. Right, so that's 2 days he's working and doing his foot. He's not gonna not play him if they're in a position to play, and it's not gonna really hurt his career. Like, if he could really get hurt, he would have been not playing.
Yeah, that's
you true. Understand. So, I personally think if he can play, he's going to want to play. And if it's that bad that they got to sit him, he probably shouldn't be playing anyway. You know, like sitting out one game, playing the game the next day, and then coming right back to practice for a week, and then go, it's like. You're still putting that pressure on it and everything. And just from the outside looking in, he looks good to me.
He does. I mean,
get him missing layups.
I mean, that's normal. I love you, Dave,
Every time you bring up Dave or ask a question, I just start laughing inside because he's the biggest spaz goofball ever, but I love him.
He gave me T-Rob vibes, but when T-Rob was a baby, like a freshman, sophomore. Like,
T-Rob would just get the ball and travel immediately.
Go up. Like, bro, you're not going to make a move first. You know there's a defender there. Like, I don't want to give him a shimmy or nothing. You're just going to go right up. I love Dave, bro. I love his energy. I think he's going to make a lot of money playing basketball after his career is over here at Kansas. I think he has a bright future, after this. And I would love for him to have a great tournament and just keep boosting his stock, man, because he's going to help a team at some point. And I just think once he slows down and the game slows down for him, which doesn't happen for a lot of people until after college. For whatever reason, college basketball is really fast-paced. And so a lot of guys really tone into their skill set and their skill level after college because they get a chance to kind of just focus in on that. And so I think he's got a great career ahead of him, man, and I'm a big fan of him.
What do we think of Mitch today?
I thought Mitch was awesome.
Yeah.
On the boards, block. I think he had to have blocked three or four shots, and I think he's been good around the rim all year.
Pick and pop pull up. I love that.
He loves the back down right hook, and he's been. I think he's been good this year, and I just think our fans are super hard on him because they expect a lot because it's a 6 year.
The fans don't like Mitch.
They're tough on him.
Yeah,
super tough. What do you think?
They like him as a person and like the character.
Let me ask you guys a question: Who aren't Kansas fans tough on?
I think Oach. I think Oach has earned his way where he can have an off game and people really aren't going to care much.
Yeah.
You would hope our
everybody loves Devontae too, right? Everybody loved Devontae.
Everyone loved
Devontae.
Frank never did anything wrong.
Devontae might be most loved ever.
They love him. Love Devontae.
So, I mean, you were people Twitter, hated me, bro. Twitter was around, but you were polarizing. Yeah,
people hated me, though, bro. I got so much shit.
I feel like with you, it's never an in between. It's either you love him or you.
Yeah.
Tyshawn turnover. That's Tyshawn what they would
turnover.
Say.
They used to kill me, bro.
But a lot of people love you too, though. You know, for sure. Like you said, you make plays.
Yeah, for sure. But it's just like I always see Kansas fans just being super hard on the players because they're fans, you know. Like, and they're not just like these aren't we. You know, you guys are from here. You guys are way more fans than I am of this. I played through it, but like to be a fan and grow up and like live or die, breathe this shit. It's something, bro. Like, it's something. And I've become more of a fan, obviously, after playing and going through my process. So I understand. Like, I've spent many of early mornings, watching Kansas games, screaming at the TV at 6 o'clock in the morning overseas in a different country. And I done stayed up all night and watched this shit. And you gonna play like this? And I'm like going crazy, you know? So I get it. Like, I totally get it, man. But I just feel like they're hard on everybody. They love us, but they're hard because they expect a lot.
So, like, Dave, we always say, Dave's got the most abuse on Twitter.
I was kind of depressed when he got a Twitter because then I kind of had to to chill out.
Like, what you he got it so bad.
People didn't chill out on me.
Anything that like Bill or you got the team? Like, are you guys in the locker room like, man, these people won't lay off me? Like,
bro, I went to Coach Self office in tears one time. One girl told me that she wished I like fall off the plane over the fuck on our way back from Maui. I got a tweet. She was like, I hope Tyshawn falls off the plane and never makes it back. And I was like in tears, like, damn. Like, you want me to die?
It's not that serious.
Over Talks a tournament. Basketball. Early November tournament.
Bro, I was like, what? Bro, I was like, Coach, this is crazy. Like, why are you reading it? Like, just get off of it. But, you know, this is, like, brand new Twitter. This is when I'm the most active and the most,
you're
like,
seeing everything, too.
Yeah,
there wasn't
bro. I'm, like, typing my own name in to, like, see what people are saying about me after each game. Like, I'm into it. Like, and so I'm, like, reading this, and I'm just like, oh, there's, like, 10 good ones and then 20 bad ones. This guy sucks. He turnover. I hate him. I can't stand him. Tyshawn drives me crazy. Then it'd be like somebody's dad, like an old white dude, no offense, but like an old ass white dude, sure, never played before.
Yeah.
I'm just like, bro, go to the gym.
I actually got a good Coach K story out of Ty the other day, and it's obviously because Coach K won, but
yeah, you got it for me. Let's hear it.
What did he say to you after the he said something after the Maui game?
Oh, to me and Elijah when he pulled us in, like we were going through the so we had just lost, and you know, obviously I'm pissed. I had 11 turnovers, the guy hits a shot. And it was like
Tyler Thornton.
Oh my god, bro! He was like
scissor kicking in the corner.
They traveled before that shot. People.
So we're like down. You know, it's still early. It's only November, but we're still down. So he pulls me and Elijah to the side. And he kind of like hugs us where nobody can kind of hear what he's saying. And he's like, bro, that was one hell of a game. You guys are amazing. Like an amazing combo of guards. Like watching you guys go at it with my guys was so much fun. Like I hope you guys have a great year. And you know, I hope we see you guys down the road. Just like some shit that he didn't have to say to us because I didn't see him stop anybody else. In front
of
us,
Coach K guy,
love him. What I know about him, and I say that from an ex player's perspective, right? Yeah. Like his ex players speak so highly of him, and people who had experiences with him love him, bro. So I personally don't know him, and the only experience I really had was that one, and just listening to other people talk to him. So it's like, what the fuck bad can I say about him?
Our last podcast, we spent 20 minutes dunking on him for losing his last home game.
That's tough, bro. But then I was actually talking about that earlier. I could imagine the emotions around that game for the players all week. You probably got J.J. Redick coming to practice and this guy coming to practice, hanging out. You know, Coach K probably 1 foot in, 1 foot out, hosting guys and preparing you guys. And then all of you guys just knowing this is his last game, like the emotion in the arena. I could imagine it being super, super hard to play under all of that. That environment, that atmosphere. So I wasn't surprised when North Carolina came out and played that well. Yep. And I wasn't surprised that Duke played not so good because it's just like I've been in those games where the emotions of the outside is driving you more than what's the goal. Yep. And it's hard. You play off adrenaline for a while, but after a while, better team's going to just win. a more focused team.
If you're watching live, we've got a few questions from you, but send in your questions. If you got questions for Tyshawn, he's ready to answer. I need some stories out of him.
Yeah. Try to get some stories out of him.
All right. Let's, AB, do you know? I don't know. I don't think we've got a line yet on KUTCU tomorrow.
Take it.
What was it at Allen?
Take it.
7.5
It might be like,
it was like
three, bro.
Six, I thought.
Okay.
Because we lost one and they played us so close at the crib and it's a neutral court.
It was five.
It might be
TCU.
Like three.
Oh, yeah.
-2.5, -3
-2.5 I'll hammer the Hawks.
I took the under today and it was 150 and they had 60 points at half. They scored like 100 second half.
Yeah.
I'm so good at gambling. I'm pretty sure it was -5 at TCU KU. So Allen had to bend.
Yeah.
Close to 10, right?
I think it was 10 or 11 now that I think about it more.
That's just going to be three or four.
I hope so. That's some money making experience.
Oh, yeah. True.
I would guess 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Home crowd. TCU probably won't have too many guys. Miles might be banged up. So
what do we think of these other games tonight? OU, Baylor, Texas Tech, Iowa State.
That's going to be a good one.
Iowa State, man. They just show out in this tournament. We joke it's their big vacation every year, but like they're everywhere. I kind of like the clones over Texas Tech tonight.
I can't believe they're 8.5-point underdogs.
You got to go off about this.
I can't believe it. Like, you're telling me Vegas used that game the same as Baylor, Oklahoma?
I don't know if Vegas remembers. They've got the home court advantage.
Hilton night, South, baby.
Last night, AB goes, Iowa State's or Texas Tech 8.5-point favorites on the road?
On the road. in Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I like Iowa State, but I obviously expect Baylor to win. Like, how we talked earlier last week, who do we want to see in the finals? It feels like I like our chances taking care of business against TCU. I mean, would you, as a player, want Baylor?
I'm about to say, you know what I like? As a player, you're not even thinking about it. We've already beat everybody, right? So in my mind, I'm thinking we already beat them. We're capable, right? So we just got to find out who we play and get back to work. But on the outside looking in, just being a basketball mind, I would love to see them play Baylor because I feel like it's such a March game, right? Like, I want to play the hardest games now. If we lose, fuck it, we lose. We still got more games, right? I'd rather those games now, though. Those are NCAA tournament type of games. You're in a neutral court playing against a really good team. That's team win. One game, you out. It's simple. Like, and I would love for those kind of games because you can prepare. Coach Self can really win or lose. He can really teach from that game moving forward, you know? So I personally would love to see them play Baylor. I would love for them to handle TCU tomorrow and play Baylor and learn something from it, whether it be off of a win or off of a loss. They're going to learn from that game, and I think it'll be good for them.
Yeah, and the stakes would be super high, too. And we've kind of missed out on it the last 2 years. 2020, they beat us at Allen. Doak went off at Baylor, and then tournament gets canceled. And then last year, I guess Baylor didn't even make it, but we had to drop out of the Big 12 tournament. So
yeah,
we've kind of
missed out. What happened last year?
Jay Will had COVID.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I completely forgot about that totally earlier.
Texas won the tournament. They got a bye against us. Like, it was the worst. Then they lost a 14 seed in the tournament, so it came together. But yeah, your point about like playing a March game, I've pointed out to these guys this year, we've obviously beat Baylor at Allen Fieldhouse, but that's Allen Fieldhouse. You look at our other games, Michigan State and Champions Classic, we kind of blew them out. They weren't that good yet. They really aren't that good now.
Yeah, not that good now.
I've been telling these guys, I worry that this team doesn't have that like big time elite top 5, top 10 win.
But that was the best thing about our conference this year as well, too, is it was so good. That even that game at K-State, even though they're not a good team, that's a tough game.
Yeah.
For anybody to play, going into that arena and play is tough. It doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter how good they are. There, they're going to play you. So you think about that. You think about having to play those games on the road at Baylor, at Texas Tech, losing at TCU. Like, as much as it's like we should handle our conference and we're used to these people, those are big games. Those are games that are going to prepare you moving forward, because these are the type of teams you're going to see, even if it's coming from a different conference. Our conference is really good, the best in the country, one of the best, if not the best. So just having those games every week or twice a week is preparing you for sure.
Yep. All right. Well, we're getting ready to wrap this thing up. We got about five more minutes.
Yeah.
I want to get – well, you got something, B-Turn?
I just want to talk about what he's doing right now and kind of promote what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, I would love to promote myself, man. So I'm just coaching and training, doing some training stuff. I've been coaching youth basketball right now. I'm doing training for girls and boys from ages 8 to about 18. I got a bunch of stuff going on in Lawrence over spring break. We got a camp set up in Lawrence over spring break. All my social medias, I've been posting it, going crazy. B-Turn retweeted it for me. But yeah, man, I'm be in Lawrence. I'll be in Kansas City area doing some coaching and training. I would love to, you know, make that my next profession. I think I got a lot to offer when it comes to that. I'm a great basketball mind. I think I've been well coached, and I know the game really well. And I enjoy, you know, teaching kids and helping them learn some of the stuff that I was able to be taught, and also some of the stuff that I wasn't able to be taught that I've had to learn myself. I think having somebody like me in their corner could help them out. You know, even guys as far as like, you know, older guys in college and stuff like that. I think I'll be a good asset to just, you know, help training kids. So that's what I'm doing. I'm just trying to, you know, make it happen.
Yep. All right. Let's get everyone's predictions in. I want to hear what you got the rest of the way for Big 12 tournament, who we're playing in the finals if we make it, and where you think we're going to be seated on Sunday. So we can't be just homers. I want you guys to all be honest. So
oh, he's honest.
All right, always. So I got the Hawks over the Clones on Saturday.
Wow. In a road game?
In a road game. Yeah, in a road game. And then I think we'll be the one seed in the Midwest.
One seed Midwest. Okay.
I love it.
Love that.
I'm staying with AB. Okay. I like AB's prediction.
I'm going to go – I've just been saying all week, like, I like the way Tech D's up, and like, 3 games, 3 days, everyone gets tired. Like, whoever plays Saturday will probably be a little tired. So it's like, Tech's in the championship, they'll be as tough as anyone. I think Tech has a great chance to make the championship. I'll go KU, Texas Tech. KU gets the dub.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad we're all a little different, because I just think I got the – you get here, you walk around the Big 12 P&L, and you get the feeling – we're getting a classic Kansas-Baylor championship game Saturday.
I want that.
I like that.
Like shootout type game, OCB, one of those 08, 07 Texas-Kansas games.
2012, I love it.
Yeah, we're getting one of those classic KU Big 12 championship games. So I don't think we have any more questions coming in from the live show, which...
2 questions.
Wow.
Shout out to the fans.
Business is booming.
What the hell?
All right, well... I think let's wrap it up. It's our first live show. This was exciting. I'm pumped. I think we did a good job.
We got one more.
Got another one?
Oh, they said we're Shorty. He couldn't show up.
Oh, yeah,
he couldn't
Sharon.
Show up because of weather. His ride.
Sharon, being from Chicago.
I got some Sharon stories, though. Anybody want to hear Sharon's story?
Absolutely.
You got a quick Sharon story. Go.
So one time I was getting on the elevator with Sharon, and somebody had like a
– No, we're
– Are we still going?
Keep going.
And somebody had like a, what do you call those things? Those bellhop things?
Like carts?
It was like a cardboard cutout of like a bellhop uniform, and asked them like, are you going up? Oh, yeah. I was like, what the hell are they talking about? He was like, bro, it's a long story. And then we go to K-State and everybody got him. And everybody's screaming at him. I'm like, bro, what happened? What you do? He was like, man, it's a long story. So after the game, he's like, bro, you want to know what I did? I'm like, yeah. He like, bro, I swear to God, I didn't do it, but I mooned a girl in the elevator one time when I was drunk. And I was like, you did what? He's like, I don't remember doing it, but that's what they said I did. I was like, they said you did that shit, all right, dog.
We're getting yelled at it to cut this off. That was a great Sharon story to end
don't
the
kill
show.
Me, that's not.
All right, shout out to Tyshawn for coming on. That's it. Thank you all for watching.
Rock chalk.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.